Okay, today is January 21st, Sabbath day, and of 2023, by the way. How's the mic? Seems a little low. Let me put it up a little higher there. Okay. All right. As you know, I haven't preached in about 6 months. You know, I've been doing some Q&As, obviously, in the spirit of prophecy things. But the Lord gave me something a few months ago. And then he insisted this week that I, you know, tweak it, you know, go in there and let him finish it for me. And then things worked out yesterday morning, in fact, in regards to my own private study. Something that he wanted me to share, because he knows there's going to be certain people listening today that need to hear this, especially what's closing this sermon. They definitely need to hear what Jeremiah said. And it all worked out to where, even though I wasn't scheduled, here I am on the mic. So praise his mighty name. Went into a little bit more detail last night about that, but I don't want to spend 10 minutes on that today. Because there's quite a bit to share here. And thank you, Brother Joe. He's got all the verses and stuff, because I didn't even have time to build a webpage showing all these verses and links. I don't think I'm going to do the links in the room, but this sermon will become a blog entry where all the links are already there, because as I was being moved to write it, I locked in all the links on every sentence that I need them. And it might even become a podcast. I don't know. It's up to him. But as we all know, Jesus is soon to come, as Brother Alvin just shared. And I mean very soon. All the signs confirming his return are fulfilling all around us. All of what we are seeing right now have been prophesied, and the few signs that have yet to be fulfilled regarding the enforcement of the mark, their foundations have been set. So much so, the apostate leaders in the churches and the corrupt politicians are doing their part as well. Sadly, theirs is not a good calling. And as prophesied, they are doing all they can to hide the fact that Jesus Christ is coming by claiming all the signs that are happening are nothing more than climate change. But according to the prophetic word of God, all the strange things we see happening in nature and in society have nothing to do with climate change. What we're all seeing are the final signs of Christ's return. This is why the Pope declared what he did when he said the end is not yet nigh, not too many years ago. And the Seventh-day Adventist pastor, president, stated on camera quite recently that Sunday laws are not even in the pipeline, even though we have concrete evidence stating the Bible prophecies have been fulfilled, including talking points in countless articles and videos all over the internet regarding their pushing a need for religious laws. Satan's desire to be worshipped is about to get very obvious in the coming days. So compile all that with the fact all the governments of the world are meeting repeatedly lately. They used to meet every 10 years with these global, you know, agendas, if you will. But now they're meeting sometimes twice a year, minimum once a year. And they're doing everything they can to lock things down, because they're seeking ways, just as prophesied, to remove cash from society so as to create a digital dollar, making it far easier to enforce the buy and sell portion of the mark of the beast. There's a reason they're doing that. They're not doing it because they want to enforce the mark. They don't even know what they're doing half the time. But Satan does, and he's got absolute control over them. So much so that they're billionaires, trillionaires, some of these guys. They're also seeking a socialist form of government worldwide, so as to create a new world order, exactly as prophesied in both the books of Daniel and Revelation. And everything I just shared right now, I have all linked out with hundreds, And on some pages, thousands of articles proving everything I just said. And have you noticed the prophecy in the book of Hosea that declared out all the animals, the insects, the birds, and the fish are going to be dying in record numbers? That's in Hosea chapter 4, verse 3. It was getting so bad. I made a page. I have a page on the website about all the strange deaths of the animals, the birds, the insects, and the fish, right? And it's happening in every country on the planet. But it's off the chart in America. Each state in America is almost like its own country in the amount of disasters when it comes to these animals. But no one notices it. The only time they mention it in the media is if the neighborhood stinks when you wake up. And they mention it only in the local area. That's why they got their little internet keys to where you can't find out what's happening in Indiana, even if you live in Illinois. Unless you're using a VPN and start dancing around with your IP address. But even then, who's got time to even know and research that out to figure out, is something happening in your neighboring state? Do I have to change my IP address to even see it? Literally every prophecy that speaks of the last day events that occur directly before the mark is enforced have all been fulfilled, with the exception of the ones regarding the mark itself. And when you look at the global infrastructure, which includes everything from a global ID or tracking every person on earth using their own cell phones, to all those millions and millions of security cameras all over the place, and this, and by the way, this includes the doorbell cameras that Amazon bought out, you know, the Ring and all those other cameras, they're interconnected. And right now, the people are going, oh, nice, we like this, because now many criminals have recently discovered the hard way that they were captured on someone's doorbell camera. So that makes people put them out there even more. But you know where that's headed. They don't care about the criminals. The fact they're emptying the prisons and giving them, you know, cashless bail and all this. Yeah, it's not about the criminals. It's about what's coming. When that loud cry gets loud and the churches start emptying, that's going to anger the enemy of souls. He's got to have everything locked down to check, you know, to track every area that we're going to be in. But don't worry. You know, unless you're willingly blind, you can see the foundation is now set in place to control every person on the planet so as to fulfill that was prophesied in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, where it says, the enemy of souls is going to cause it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. As prophesied, everyone alive at this time will soon be forced to make the long prophesied decision as to who they're going to worship, the God of the Bible or the dying God of this world. Will they obey God and keep his law so as to be sealed unto salvation for eternity? Or will they keep the religious laws of mankind so as to be marked unto damnation for eternity? And yes, this is why so many people are dying right now. Satan is using his pawns in government, as well as the churches, because we got them on camera telling people to get that shot, you know, the clot shot, they're calling it now. So even the pastors are doing this. Doug Batchelor did it on camera. And they're killing as many people as possible so as to make the job of enforcing the mark of the beast for Satan that much easier. The less people, the less work he's got to do. You know, what's being shown right now in just a few graphic videos online regarding the massive number of deaths is a fraction of what's actually happening. Because, you know, most of it's going to be covered up. But it's happening so far and wide now, they can't cover all of it up. And so that said, we all need to seriously prepare for the coming of the Lord. Just like Brother Alvin was sharing in his study. There is nothing more important to do today than readying for the coming of the Lord. We must make his path straight for the coming of the Lord. But because so many who continue in denying the Lord's will when it comes to everything from dress reform to health reform and outright sin, while at the same time claiming to be Christians, as Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 predicted, we can see why some are going to ask, as prophesied in Luke 18:8, they're going to ask, will he find faith when he returns? Yeah, he will. But in very small numbers in comparison to how many now claim him as Lord. For yet another prophesied sign of the end is the obvious falling away from the truth as it is plainly written in the Bible. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. You know, this is why there are over 40,000 different denominations out there that are not biblical Christianity. And to further foster on the confusion, many strange Bibles with thousands of verses missing have been embraced by literally billions as if they are to be the trusted word of God when they're nothing of the sort. All the churches now worship their man-made creeds, exactly as Isaiah predicted. I mean, soon everyone on earth will hear this last message of mercy from the obedient lips of the remnant people of God. This final message that we give that's just bathed in love as well as graphic warning of damnation will be proclaimed globally no matter how many governments remove free speech. Because we know that's why they're doing it. We've got thousands of articles proving that out. The prophesied latter rain is about to fall on the obedient remnant people. And once it does, we're going to go forth in a loud cry to declare the final message, to repent and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Make his path straight. The fact many of us proclaim it even now shows the Holy Spirit has been testing some of us to see if we will actually go forth, even without the abundance of the Holy Spirit, in such an evil and adulterous time as we live in now, like Enoch lived. And Elijah. You know, I praise his name that many of us are passing the test to echo that which was written long ago. After the Lord asked who's going to go forth for him in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the obedient remnant people are going to echo that which Isaiah said back then. They're going to say, here am I, send me just as well. And as for those of you still riding on the fence on deciding on, you know, for or against following the Lord in a true obedient way when it comes to everything from dress reform to health reform and everything in between, and you stop walking in a wishy-washy, lukewarm manner, which will cause you to be left behind in the plagues, I have to ask you, will his inspired word finally find good soil in your heart? So your loving Father can bless you with the prophesied refreshing of the Holy Spirit that moves you with newfound faith and courage to do all you can to warn those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Will you repent and be ye therefore converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, as declared in Acts chapter 3, verse 19? This promised peace is real and will most assuredly awaken the hearts of many to the awesome power of Jesus Christ, who promised to give us this amazing and very real peace long ago. And especially now, when this end-time generation comes to a close, wherein sin, violence, and graphic perversion of every kind was prophesied to be embraced as the norm in our day. That's why we said decades ago they're going to push pedophilia, homosexuality, and all sorts of crazy things. And still people wonder, well, how did you know? Well, it's because we study Scripture. It's in there. Christian prophecy is that accurate. This peace in Jesus makes the shy become bold, the frightened courageous, and the non-believer faithful. For we need this refreshing so as to stand firm in a way we have never stood before, to where the non-believer even sees things and understands and accepts Christ as Lord and is also bathed in that latter rain, if in fact the Lord can use them for his glory. For when we go forth, we too are going to echo what Peter stated 2,000 years ago when the powers that be then tried to remove free speech from the apostles. As you recall, Peter was very fearful the night they arrested Jesus. which we also know was right before he got the early rain, as well as the others that gathered at night in the upper room, which everybody knows as Pentecost. Peter cowered in fear when they took Jesus away and even denied his Lord three times, like some in our number worldwide are having a little bit of some bouts with fear right now, directly before the latter rain falls. But your faith is strong. But the enemy of souls is trying to do everything he can to declare unto you that there's a lion in the streets. Don't go out there. When you get a chance, read Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. It's all there. But directly after being blessed with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, the Pharisees demanded Peter and the other apostles to just plain stop preaching the truth. Don't be talking about Jesus. Don't be bringing his blood upon them, even though that's what they asked for when they declared unto Pilate to crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children, they said it. Now they're getting it, and they're all upset about it. Same thing's going to happen in our day. Well, it's actually already started. But now, Peter, now that he's got the Holy Spirit within, as well as the others, now they had the courage from the Holy Spirit. And when the Pharisees tried to scare them with their political demands, it says in Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And even though it was the law of the land, they just walked out and started preaching Jesus. Soon, the prophesied government-approved apostate leaders in all the 501c3 fallen churches and horrifically corrupt leaders in the world will do as the Pharisees of old. And they're going to join forces to enforce religious laws so as to try and stop us from preaching the truth regarding God's law and the mark of the Vatican beast. This message will cause many to leave the apostate churches, exactly as prophesied in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. The pastors of the churches will then use their 501c3 church and state powers to demand the government helps them force those of us that keep God's law with the inability to buy and sell so as to try and starve us into submission. But we know about the promise in Isaiah, too, about our bread and waters being sure. Still, at the same time, this is going to cause billions of people worldwide to choose damnation rather than salvation, out of fear of losing their abilities to buy food or just keep their jobs. And 100% of them will do so realizing how deadly all of this truly is, because none of them studied the Word of God that not only warns them this was coming, it also helps all of us that do study how to prepare for this inevitable event. For if anyone has learned anything the last few decades, it has to be that Christian prophecy is that accurate. What's prophesied will happen. This lack of faith by billions is what the prophet Amos said. What he did is, and this is why he said what he said in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, which was, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. The Lord cannot give anyone an understanding of his word, be it prophetic or doctrinal, unless the people seriously seek it out and then obey his word as it is written. And sadly, the majority of the people on earth that refuse this amazing gift and blessing from the Lord will, at the onset of plague number one, echo what the prophet Jeremiah said. And this includes all the people who thought they were Christians, yet refused to keep God's law because they were too fearful to lose their jobs. Jeremiah 8:20 says that they will say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Only Christians say that. Atheists could care less. But praise his mighty name, that is also prophesied in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5, some precious and obedient souls will come to know and understand this final warning we proclaim and trust the Lord Jesus unto salvation and be saved from the wrath of God that falls upon all those denying his love and perfect will for them. In the prophetic word of our loving God, we learned the mark of the beast is most assuredly a religious law. In fact, each and every time the mark of the beast is mentioned in the Word of God, the word worship is right there with it. as well as the image of the beast. It's right there. And as we also know, due to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, the devil seeks to be worshipped as a god. And so he has always done what he's doing now. He's been doing this for 6,000 years. He mimics everything that our God does with a demonic spin. He takes the methods of the true God of heaven and twists them so as to make himself and his lies appear holy and good. But this only works on those refusing to study the scripture. To such as these, his lies appear believable and even look holy and truthful because they never saw the warnings in God's word regarding each and every lie spewed forth by the devil. The fact so many people keep Sunday holy proves that hands down. And as we know, the Ten Commandments were carved in stone to declare their eternal permanence. These Ten Commandments are the law of the land in New Jerusalem, and therefore will be as such for all eternity. And Satan knows this, for he was once an angel in good standing eons ago, before sin was found in his heart, wherein he was cast out from heaven in disgrace. And so in order to claim to be a god on earth, he created his own version of the Ten Commandments, so as to cause as many as possible to worship and obey him above the God of all creation. But again, as we also know regarding Christ's words in Matthew 24:24, the elect cannot be deceived. But still, the only way to have faith in God, and or even just have God given wisdom of the prophesied elect, we must do as Romans 10:17 says. And that's to study the Word of God daily. It's the only way faith comes. In so doing, Satan cannot harm you in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it says this regarding God's obedient people. I'm going to give you three verses here. Isaiah 33:16. And before reading it, you got to understand that when the powers that be remove our ability to buy food during the first phase of the mark's enforcement, we have this promise. And only Christians can claim this promise. But we have this promise. In Isaiah 33:16, it says, "He shall dwell on high." He is speaking of us. "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure." And then when the powers that be come against us, we have another promise found in Isaiah 54:17 that says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." And finally, when the plagues begin that eventually kill every person on earth that denies Christ as Lord, we have yet another promise in Psalm 91, verses 9 to 11. It says, "There shall no..." It says, "No." Well, let me kind of skipped over there. Verses 9 to 11. I started on 10. It says, verses 9 to 11. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." You know, I could just picture when Moses was declaring this unto the people of God, right before plague one hit them in Egypt. They're just sitting there in awe, knowing that, yeah, those plagues ain't hitting us. The truth is, there are hundreds of promises in the Word of God that bring peace and joy to the children of God. And I have them listed on the website for anybody that wants to check them out. And by the way, the easiest way to see how Satan is using his version of God's law to lure people into sin with him is to see how he imitates God's law by claiming his own Sabbath day. Remember how I said Satan is going to make his lies appear holy and good? Well, literally billions of people are right now believing that the Sabbath day is Sunday for some strange reason, even though There's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to prove that as truth. Not one. Not one solitary verse exists. Not one. In fact, I have a page on the site where you can check out the Bible verses from these apostate pastors that they still use these verses today that, as also prophesied, were totally twisted out of context to make Sunday appear to be holy, even though Sunday is still never even mentioned in those verses. Totally out of context. But people believe them because most of the people don't study their Bibles, and they figure these guys go to cemetery for 8 years. Yeah, I know, it's really seminary, but I call it cemetery because it's destroying their faith. It's killing them. And so, again, I have all the verses that are placed in context on the website, if anybody wants them, as well as a couple of videos I did on it. And so why does the devil do that? Well, it's because he knows the commandments of God really are the law of God. They're the law of the land and heaven, in fact, and he knows this because he used to live there. And he also knows that all the angels kept the Ten Commandments before a human was ever even born. Check it out. It's in Psalm 103, verse 20. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." So Satan knows all about commandment number 4. He knows it's the main commandment of God, wherein if kept, it clearly proves to the very God that wrote them that you love, worship, and obey him. Check it out. It's Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. I'm going to read it. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Satan knows if you keep his false Sabbath of Sunday, that you then love, worship, and obey him instead of God. For the obvious fact here is, there isn't a single Bible verse to prove Sunday is the Sabbath. And because no such verse exists in the entire Bible, you know, that God wrote, not a single verse says Sunday is the Sabbath. Well, that clearly means you're ignoring the Creator God's word, who literally told you to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And instead, you're obeying the God of the world, who was prophesied to make you forget God's law. Seriously, the only reason God used the word remember in commandment number 4 is because he knew all of mankind would be taught to forget it. That one word is a prophecy. In fact, he prophesied about this via his prophet Daniel eons ago. I have an in-depth study on this prophesied fact, as well as a bunch of videos covering every aspect of this false Sabbath listed on the website for anybody that's interested. It's on my Mark of the Beast page. Ton of videos. I think there's more than 24. Anyway, Satan knows that when mankind keeps the true Sabbath, he is openly declaring the Creator, because the Lord says he made heaven and earth and all and the sea and all that in them is. He said that in commandment number 4 to declare himself Creator. And so when you keep it holy, you're declaring that you worship that God that is the Creator. Because if you reread commandment number 4, yeah, that's more or less what he said. He's the Creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Directly in that commandment, he said that so as to remove all doubt from your heart as to it being the only Sabbath. He, your Creator God, blessed and hallowed. Satan cannot say that about his spurious Sabbath. That's why he has to base everything on lies. And so that being said, and this is for those that are on the fence, riding the fence, because I know my brothers and I know my sisters. You guys are keeping the Sabbath, and I praise God for you, because we're in one big happy family. We're going to be living, could you imagine the camp meetings when we get home in heaven? And so, but that being said, for those that are riding the fence on this, do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ that you claim as your Creator, your King, and your Savior? If so, I challenge you to look into his word. And you're going to find that his commandments are in fact eternal and never changing. That's why they were etched in stone. They're not etched in, you know, like a marshmallow or something. No, they're etched in stone. I mean, seriously, was it not declared in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And was it not also penned in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And just so you know, the reason the sons of Jacob are not consumed is because when you obey the Lord, he protects you and brings you to an expected end. Just like he said in Jeremiah 29:11, when it says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's why Jeremiah was never killed. He was never martyred. The Ten Commandments were never abolished at the cross, as so many government-approved apostate pastors are claiming by twisting the Word of God out of context. In fact, the only way to get into heaven is by proving you keep the laws of the land before even entering. It's right there in Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That city, my brothers and my sisters, is New Jerusalem, which we call heaven. And for those of you that are new to this amazing truth in God's holy word, if you need additional info on this, and if the links that I provide in the sermon later on when it's a blog entry, if they move you to want even more information on God's word in regards to this, well, I have two studies online that just email me or PM me and I'll give you the links to them. It's the Law of God page and the Sabbath page. And they're both kind of huge. And both of them, I think I have a rebuttal section because there's a lot of what ifs when it comes to those two topics. And whenever anybody gives me a what if in an email about the Sabbath or the law, and if it's not something I've ever seen before, I update those two pages. And remember, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he sends the Holy Spirit into your heart to literally help you keep his law. And if you want proof, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us." Isn't that nice? You're a walking, talking letter of Jesus Christ. You're an epistle. You're carrying truth in your heart. You're an epistle of Christ. That's what he said here. And then it says, "And written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." That's why we can keep it. And in Hebrews 10:16 it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." That's why we receive the seal of God in the forehead, because the forehead depicts where you make your decisions. It's already in our hearts, so it's definitely going to be in the head. And so, for those that declare that we're building a stairway to heaven by works, no, we don't keep God's law to get saved, as so many assume against us. We keep God's law because we are saved. For no man or woman alive can ever keep his law unless the Holy Spirit helps them. That was proven at Mount Sinai before Moses even got off that mountain. This is also why Jesus said what he said in Matthew 7:20. He said, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them," right? He said that because he knows that the only way to keep his law is to accept him as Savior. And once we do that, he sends us the Holy Spirit to help us keep his law. That way, when we are able to keep his law, that proves to the other believers that we truly are his obedient remnant people. We have that fruit that they're looking for. Keeping his law is the fruit Jesus said to look for in others. Therefore, if anyone claims or even comes to you declaring that you don't have to keep the law of God, remember what the Apostle John declared under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He said, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And just to double verify, that John the Apostle was talking about the Ten Commandments that have been there all along from the beginning of creation? Notice what he also said, the Apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. He said, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." See, that's how easy it is to expose the false doctrines that are floating out there. And just yesterday morning, and this is for those you, for those of you, the SDA leaders that are listening right now, because my Lord told me you were going to be listening today. And hopefully this is what gets you off that desk in that apostate church, and you step out and you start doing the work of the Lord. You become the remnant of her seed, or part of the remnant of her seed. Just yesterday morning, as I was in my Bible studies, and a few hours before I even discovered the Lord would have me preach today, I was moved by his Holy Spirit to read Jeremiah 25, verses 28 to 38, to my brothers and my sisters, with the hope that some still trapped in apostasy, as well as their pastors who are listening right now, will be convicted deep within. What Jeremiah said, what he penned back then, applies to all apostate leaders and those still in their churches in a big way today, and especially for the Seventh-day Adventist leaders of today. And so I'm going to close with this. And by the way, before reading this, the cup being referred to here in this prophetic utterance has to do with what the Lord has decided that was going to fall upon those that refused to obey him. The cup is mentioned a lot of times. Do a search with Esau or something and look up the word cup and see how many times it's mentioned. And yeah, it's the same cup of the, there's a good cup and there's a bad cup. Okay? So again, Jeremiah 25 verses 28 to 38 says this. "And it shall be, if they refuse to take..." Jeremiah is told to declare this. After 23 years of warning the people in Jerusalem, 23 years he's been warning them, and that's it, this is the final straw, this is what the Lord is saying now. And make special note, Pastor, that where it says, "called by my name" here, the SDA church declares because they have a name given them of God, that they are the perfect, they are the called church, they are the chosen ones. Well, how well did that work out for the Jews? Because it's more or less the same thing being said here. You can declare you got a name from God. Well, the Jews did that too. The Lord took it from them and gave it to someone else. So again, it says, "And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink," because he's been handing that cup to them for 23 years. "And so if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink." There's no getting around it. You know, you can't fight our Heavenly Father. And then verse 29 says, "For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, and they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations." So it's no mistake that Sister White wrote what she wrote in those books called The Controversy, Great Controversy. Goes on, it says, Jeremiah is to declare that he will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And then verse 32 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation in a great whirlwind." Okay, we know what whirlwind means in prophecy, don't we? It means the plagues. So this was said back then, and it's being said today. "And so a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, And they shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. That is the beginning of the 1,000 years. And that's when Satan's prophesied name of Beelzebub comes to fruition. Because Beelzebub in English means God of the dung. So he's wandering for 1,000 years in rotted bodies on this day. And again, this proves this is speaking of these days, not just Jeremiah's day. Verse 34. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock. That's right, the pastors are the ones that are going to die in a very graphic way at Plague 7 and at the end of the 1,000 years. They're literally going to be part of the ashes, just like everybody they deceived under the guidance of Satan. So again, howl, ye shepherds, ye pastors, and cry and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished. Now think about that. Our God knows the end from the beginning. It's a done deal already. Ye will drink of this cup. Ye shall certainly drink. And it says, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. Like Jesus called me, like a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. Verse 35, and the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as a lion, or as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. And so, all I can say now is, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.